Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Ooh, welcome to a spooky episode of The Screw.
Ooh, that was a weird one. I liked it.
I'm just, you know. Welcome.
Listen to them, children of the cum. What sweet music they make.
I was actually thinking earlier, it's like, how come every time I put on headphones and sit in front of the mic, I just want to like, make noises or sing? I get in and I'm like, yeah, sing whatever, you know, just to hear. Do I just like to hear myself talk? Is that what it is?
Yes. Okay. That's okay.
It happens. It happens.
Well, yeah, that's why half of the population has a podcast. We were first. We did it first.
We did it first. I love it. Every time
we
go to
work. We did it when it was really not cool at all.
Oh, yeah.
It was like really, and it's actually really, it's not cool again. It's a cyclic thing. Podcasts were not cool. No one cared. Then they became really hot and popular. And now everybody has one. And so everybody's like, oh, you're a guy with a podcast. You're a douche, you know, and, which I agree that most people with podcasts shouldn't have podcasts. But I like that we watched this ebb and flow, whether or not podcasts are quote unquote cool.
Yeah. The only people that say, oh, that's like they used to say, oh, that's really cool. Neato or whatever. Maybe not neato.
Neato.
But
neato.
Now, you know, when like, you know, you disclose, oh, yeah, so I have a podcast, and they go, that's so cool. What do you talk about? Sex. Oh, my God, sex. And, of course, like, there's 1,000 sex podcasts now, too. You know, yeah. It's like daring to say naughty things used to get us knocked off of every platform, you remember? So I guess there
now
is,
now you
like
have to talk about sex.
Yeah.
There's a fucking TV show that just got released with What's-Her-Face that is about a two girls that talk about sex on a podcast. Like, it's literally our lives if we were two white women.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I was thinking about
that. We are. I always forget that you're a, like, Melissa Etheridge lesbian.
And, like, I was, yeah. No, I still think we're still, it's still, it's still a white woman and a white man. Anyway, you want to, it may not be who you think it is.
That's true. But I do double as the white man in our relationship.
Yeah, you are so butchy when it comes to certain things. Like, I'm, like, yeah, squeezing your hand during horror movies. Like, oh, my God. And like, still now, you cannot. I will watch a horror movie, but nobody is allowed to make sudden moves. Nobody, like, my partner loves when like an intense scene and is coming on, and I'm all like my butthole is all like rejuvenatedly tight, and like I'm holding my cheeks together, making coal. He'll go and like, he'll flick my nipple, and you know how sensitive my nipples are. I jump out of my skin every time. So now
I love that.
Now I've taken to just when I feel something is like intense, I will like do the whole like you can't see my boobies, like arms folded over my chest kind of thing. Like, you're not getting near them.
I actually went to see Halloween, the original Halloween 78, on, was it Friday? By myself on a rooftop in Manhattan. And it was so cool. It was such a cool experience. I brought my little Halloween blankie, and I ate my popcorn and my candy. And it was just so nice. I really enjoyed it. I just looked up around me and I'm like, wow, I can see the fucking Empire State Building while I'm watching Halloween.
That is
my
so
favorite
cool
movie on earth. It was pretty cool. It was moments like that are why I don't want to leave New York City, you know?
No.
And I don't think I can, like, not permanently, not in like any kind of serious way. But anyways, it was cool. And I actually got tickets to see Scream the same way in a few weeks, too.
Oh, so, nice. Very cool.
Yeah. And I'm seeing live orchestra or a two-piece orchestra. I don't know what to call it. An orchestra play the score of Nosferatu.
Oh, nice.
On Halloween.
Probably more than a two-piece orchestra then. Probably.
No, I'm pretty sure it's two.
Wait,
I think
just
it's two
people playing?
I'm almost positive.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm excited about it. I feel like that's my new version. I was talking recently to a friend and I was like, I don't know. I feel like not my tastes have changed, but like I used to have this undying need to like dress up and go to parties for Halloween and da da da. And like that's fun once in a while, but I really find this new version of enjoying media in a different way as like my new adult version of celebrating Halloween. You know, I'm like, I just want to see horror movies that I really like in a setting where everybody else there is also there for the same dorky reason, you know?
Totally. So like, I haven't been able to get into the whole Halloween films, although I did favorite the scary one you were talking about with the hand or whatever. What was it called? Like they hold they get possessed by something.
Idle hands?
No. The new one you said that you watched that was really scary.
Oh.
Talk to me or talk through me.
Whatever the fuck it was. Yeah, yes.
And
talk to me.
And so I, you know, watched the preview. It still like is really creepy to me, but I favorited it. So it might happen before Halloween.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know if you can handle that one.
I might not be able to. So instead, we decided to watch Start because we've never seen why can I not talk? Mayfair Witches? They're both Anne Rice things. And the Vampire Interview with the Vampire series. They're like AMC whatever shows. And like, we had tried to watch Interview with a Vampire a while ago. And I don't know.
The movie?
No, the television
show. Oh, the
show. Okay. And yeah, I love the movie. I've seen the movie a bunch of times. But for whatever reason, I don't remember exactly. We had a couple of critiques about some of what they were trying to do with it. And I forgot what ridiculous. I think it was like he's driving and they like basically made Louis a pimp. And like a black pimp in New Orleans in 1910. And I'm like, this just doesn't feel exactly right that they've done this.
I did start the series and then I just got distracted.
It wasn't a problem with him being, you know, I'm like, okay, it's fine and cool that you've like thrown some diversity and representation, but then you go and made him a pimp?
A pimp.
Okay.
That seems problematic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's not just a pimp. He's like a hustler of many different trades. Let's put it that way. But then, so we decided to give it a second chance because like it found out it was renewed again. And like people just keep saying like, oh, it's so queer and so this and so that. So it's definitely pretty queer. And it's scary that both Mayfair Witches and they're scary. They're not just like, meaning that it's not like some drama fantasy. They're definitely more in the horror genre than like the fantasy. Like this isn't the True Blood version, you know, which True Blood is kind of hokey as much as like I love
kind
it.
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. Lestat is like ripping throats out and it's graphic, you know.
Well, I mean, for the record, True Blood is graphic, but it's so hammy that it's almost like easy.
Yeah, and like it's a little trauma-y graphic. Like they explode and like their blood is like the coagulated bits are against the wall. It's like
for the record, all vampire anything should have queer elements to it. There is no way that you can have a vampire anything and not have some queerness to it.
No, I agree.
Unless we're doing Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is the only version of that trope that doesn't need queerness because it wasn't written into the book for that matter, you know, like
right,
that's the only version of the tale that makes sense to not have queerness in it. Everything else needs to be queer.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, and I've noticed that this, like, kind of queer horror genre is, like, because there's a whole list of queer horror movies now, or, like, queer, yeah, like, thrillers, if you will. And most of them are really horrible. They're either, like, horribly acted or something. And they're basically, like, softcore with a horror thriller plot, like, added
right,
to them.
Right.
Which is, you know. But I will say, Lestat, you know, is apparently played by this, like, Australian actor who kind of, I think, nails this French accent. Like, he's very, very good. And, you know, he's pretty hot in that, I guess, white European, like, looking. I mean, he looks French, you know? I mean, so he's got, like, the look down of, like, seductive, je ne sais quoi. And you can make fun of white French accents. I'm sorry. You definitely. It's open.
Oh, I didn't say you
it's
couldn't.
It's open season on all the imperialist countries. So, so and then, like, they go to the sex scene, and he takes off his shirt. And, like, it was hard to tell exactly his body type because they're, like, have all these, like, layers because it's 1910 or whatever, and they're, like, have, like, a vest and a big ruffly shirt and all this shit. So he takes it off, and I'm like, oh, he's mad flacco skinny. Like, he's so, you know, like, not my type, you know?
Wow, Aaron. But maybe he didn't have enough blood, okay? Maybe he wasn't nourished enough. He didn't have enough snacks.
Nothing worse than an anorexic vampire. But surprisingly, when they got all of his clothes off, he had cool little man. Nice, like, nice shaped ass. Because that's the, you know, if you like ass and you see these flacco boys, it's very rarely there's, like, booty to be had. And, you know, I don't know. I think I just like voluptuous booty, so I like me thicker fucking people. So, anyways.
Well, I'm fat, and I don't got an ass, so, you know.
No. And sure.
Can't all win.
It can, right. So that was my point. I was pleasantly surprised that there's a flacco with booty. It happens every once in a while. You know, okay. You know. I'm just saying it's not about the body type as much as it's about the booty type.
Yeah, there you go. Booty type over body type.
Booty type over body type. Exactly. So can I just say...
Meanwhile, you do have a nice butt, but we are on the smaller butt ends of the spectrum. So for us to be sitting here being like, oh, we require big booty is actually quite funny.
Not right now. This booty is fat.
Is it pop?
Oh.
Is it pop? Wait, get up and show me. I need to see. I'm gonna give the audience my honest reaction. No, I can't see. Nope, the camera. Nope. Show me the booty. Oh, damn!
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
It came from eating sopapillas.
I'm moving to New Mexico.
I mean, there is a certain... type a certain amount of carbohydrate in carnita, like, intake that, like, it works.
Baby, I eat all the carbs and there ain't no booty on this caboose.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's okay. Just the way it is. So, speaking of which, so I'm you know, being on a college campus again in my middle ages. Is really interesting because I'm not sure if I ever recognize it, and I don't know if it's, like, more of a modern thing or if it's always been the case. I've never really gone to school at the designated age, but holy shit, did these college guys just figure out they had a dick? Because they're all wearing, and I'll explain, they're all wearing these fucking little putito shorts that are so small. The material is so thin, all you can, and they're not wearing anything under them. So it's like full dick print all day long. And, you know, it just, we had our first cool day today, meaning it's 74. And they,
chilly.
They all switched over to jogging pants of similar material and same dick print status all day long. And this to me is like, I feel all this showing off your junk as like, it's, I don't know. Like, is it a new thing? Has it always been there?
The gray sweatpant phenomenon has always existed, but sure. I don't think anybody really brought attention to it till like the last maybe 5 or so years. Where it's officially a season. So
it's trending.
Like those little shorts are super popular now. So like guys go and work out in the little shorts and whatever. Like there's this one guy that walks down the street in my neighborhood and I see him. I don't know why I always run into him, but he wears the shortest shorts. He's probably like 6'5". He is solid muscle head to toe. And his shorts are so tiny. And it's just, that's like the popular look now. But the gray sweatpants thing has been encouraged by social media, essentially. People just being like, it's gray sweat. The same way, you know, guys will be like, it's sundress season, meaning all of the ladies will be in their sundresses. And we love sundresses. It's the same. It's men and women sexualizing the idea that we can see your dick.
Not just that, I can see your fucking scrotum. Like, I mean, it's like, here's the thing. I've been meaning to say this. So, you know, I think somewhere in this, the like advent of like this OnlyFans and this like whatever stuff, because it's definitely increased on like Instagram, the guys showing dick prints, not just here. It's international, which is what's fucking cracking me up. Yeah. And of course,
the new thing is to like work out without underwear and post it online.
Exactly.
And like all of a sudden you're.
Which used to get you arrested. So.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, I'm all for it. Like, again, this is like whatever. Like, you know, we used to not have any clothes as human beings. So, you know, whatever. And there's somewhere in there the conversation of, you know, why is it so scantilating? What is the word I'm looking for?
Scintillating.
Tintillating? Titillating?
Tintillating? Yes, it's
happened in my vocabulary.
The new word for it is tintillating.
Taintillating is what it is.
Taintillating. There you go.
I'm all for it. You know, it's just, you know, and I think that kind of, you know, body conservatism we've had for many, many like years, especially in this country, you know, has been a thing. You know, you would go and travel to certain places and you see people wearing tighter clothes and showing off their bodies a little bit more. And, you know, you come to the U.S. and it's still like leave enough room for the Holy Ghost kind of energy. And I don't, you know. I hope, you know, these things make us, like, better at having conversations about these things. I mean, it still seems to me that I don't understand, how are, like, the more Kinsey scale zeros and one males, like, who are they presenting for? Because, like, it's a toss. Like, I'm sure some women like Boltos, but, like, I've never known like all this thirst from like women to see like your dick print all day long. And like,
so I think it's an, you know, in our safe space, aka online, I think that a lot of, if you look at like the comments on these influencers pages that are showing the dick prints or whatever, it's all thirsty women. It's like, for every like 100 thirsty women, there's like one thirsty man in the comments. And I think that people are assuming that that translates to real life. And maybe in some spaces it does, but for the most part, women, and I'm speaking for myself here, women are mostly just kind of afraid of men in public.
Yeah.
Not in like a, every man is going to come and get, but like, we have to be,
there's an aggressiveness. There's an aggressiveness to like dick first energy.
We have to be like on guard. Right. So when we're in public spaces, again, certain place, like maybe if I'm at a festival or not me, but like maybe if people are at a place where you're encouraged to dress up or dress down, if you will, that would be more, I think, welcomed. But I think just walking around a campus and seeing a dick print, I can't imagine it being too much of a of a popular thing, if anything. I think, again, we're often kind of just walking around, you know, hyper aware. So yeah. I don't know if we have time to like give a shit that your dick is swinging.
So
you know?
that's kind of it too. Like, look, I'm all for vulgarity, right? But there's something about like seeing it online and choosing to like indulge and comment on it versus like passing your face every 37. Like, I'm not actually complaining. I'm just saying, I'm trying to like contextualize it because like.
Right. Like the way somebody might comment on your photo or your video, that you're not going to get that in real life.
Yeah.
Typically from a woman. Once in a while you have that unicorn that's going to be like, damn boy, look at that dick. Wow. Yeah. I like the way it swings or whatever the fuck, but it's not gonna be as common of an occurrence as if you were just posting online.
And it is
a good question to pose. It's like, who are you doing this for?
Right, because like I'm like, okay, is it for like the kind of naughty, quiet satisfaction? Like I know when I like wear a cock ring to the gym, for instance.
Yeah,
that
it's probably exhibitionism. Honestly, it's probably. It's probably not for anybody in particular except for themselves and the idea that, oh, I just got some eyes or, you know, maybe women are looking at.
Well, and that's the thing. This would be an interesting, I would say, newish trend for the simple fact that I have thought over the years, for the most part, men, regardless of like size, have been more so self-conscious about their dicks than not self-conscious about their dicks in the sense that like they don't want to show it to everybody. They don't want it on display because, you know, just like boobies, this like whole size thing is like a thing and women
but exhibitionists don't care about size.
No, that's
size.
True.
It's the same way flashers sometimes have the ugliest dicks you've ever seen. So it's because... it's not for that.
No, that's true. So I wonder if like there's like this exhibitionism online is like having like a social influence on like a trick.
I think so. Because
like
I do think so.
There's the exhibitionism is on the rise. Then like meaning like it's not like I get inherent exhibitionists who have always like. You know, and then the, like the extreme versions, like, you know, flashers and whatever, they've always existed. But like, you know, now it seems like everybody's being a little, and I know part of it is like trends in fashion have an influence too. Like, hey, we're going to make these things with this like really light, skimpy material that like normally we weren't dressing guys in. Now we're like, you know, marketing. You see all these bulge enhancing. Like, there really is a, and it's like chicken or egg, you know. And again, I like roll it back to like the OnlyFans kind of reality. Like, certainly a lot of these men that are doing the dick prints online, you connect, you look through their things, they have an OnlyFans. Like, dick print is eventually translating to dick in the flesh, you know? So, and I wonder if, like, you know, what the relationship with that and the fashion and, like, creating clothing and stuff that helps, you know, these guys promote themselves online or... in public. It's like, I want a haircut just like that famous actor. I want a dick.
I follow a couple influencers that kind of point out that straight men don't actually like women. And I think it's true. I mean, I feel like 80% of the cis straight male population does not actually like women. Mm. Women are serving a purpose. They're their beards, essentially. They're using them as a whole. Like, that's pretty much their purpose. They're using them as a way to hide that they are actually not into women at all. And I do think that the same way kind of, it's not the same, but in a similar way that women dress for women, men, I think, dress for men. I do think so. It doesn't even have to be gay men. I think that men are peacocking. They're showing off. It's the same way you show off your muscles. They're showing off their dick when they're proud of it, or maybe even when they're not proud of it. It doesn't, you know, exhibitionism doesn't, size doesn't matter. But when you're peacocking and you know you have a nice swanging dick, maybe that's what that psychology is. It's because men are actually not into women and they are pretending to be So what they're truly doing is actually just showing off for men and getting eyes and getting that, you know, that satisfaction without actually crossing over into the territory of touching dick.
So right? That whole like MGTOW like philosophy or whatever it is, like men who like definitely have no respect for women that are only there for the solidarity. You know, it's human.
Yeah, I mean, this is like 80%. I'm not kidding. I don't.
No.
I don't know a lot of straight cis men that like women. Like they're annoyed by them. Take my wife. Oh, this nag, this piece of shit. I gotta get home to the ball and chain. Like, do you like women? Right. No, you don't.
Right. And because I always need to contextualize, that is the way men are socialized. And especially hetero identifying men, if you're, you know, and now because of like all the heteronormativity in queer like culture, you see that play out with like the LGBTQ population as well. Like, you know, these roles have social behavior like pressures with them, you know.
Right.
I do the daddy jobs, or I mean, like I told you about like the two lesbians I met many years ago. She does the daddy jobs, and I do the mommy jobs or whatever. And
so
I
was gendered.
Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Oh, I don't want to break a nail, and she's good with a hammer. I'm like, okay. Well, I can promise you my dad was never fucking good with a hammer.
Same. My dad and my stepdad were never doing the daddy jobs. Yeah. They were doing the mommy jobs.
Right.
While my mom did the daddy jobs. So it's like, what is this gendered language
I know.
That doesn't need to exist?
So ridiculous.
But yeah, I think that, you know, socially and beyond, you lose a lot. Or you could potentially lose a lot by coming out and by even just exploring your sexuality in general, right? So I think that oftentimes, you know, straight cis men stay closeted because they are not willing to give up what it is that they truly want in life, which is to be accepted and liked and loved on the highest level. Mm-hmm. And they understand that there are ramifications with coming out, so they do everything that they can to stay in that closet. Mm-hmm. And that includes showing their dick imprint off to other men while they go home to their girlfriends, right? That they don't like, that they do not like. They would rather be with their male pals. And I just think it's so funny that to this day we're still like, you know, why do guys do that thing? Like, women don't like that. It's like, because they don't like women. It's a simple fact. It's just not the way it is.
And I think I've said this a million times, like, if we truly want, like, sexuality to be freed up and, like, see it at its most, like, natural, like, occurrence, if you will, we really all should be supporting this fight against like the idea of gender, like binary and normativity. I've always said like the fight against gender and gender roles and gender constructs really is like the most important one for sexuality. You know, and of course, this isn't always a popular discussion. Because I think sexuality is so socially constructed and influenced. I think we all have no idea of what our natural inclinations and leaning, and we don't consider how much being raised around such strict gender archetypes have actually influenced our sexuality. Either by what you're talking about with straight men hating women subconsciously or you know, like there's so much at play here.
Oh, it's conscious. It's fucking conscious.
But like it's conscious out of like, this is supported, right? This is socially supported.
This is the norm. It's the norm to the point where I know that our listeners that are cis straight men are going to be like, what are you fucking talking about? And that's fine, because our listeners that are cis straight men are probably not who I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Because they wouldn't be listening to a podcast with a woman and a queer man if they had issues with either of us, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you know, you might be listening and scratching your head, but I promise to fuck that this is a very real thing. And it is a very real thing that is just now kind of coming to light. Like the more this one influencer, he literally, his name is it Barrett Paul? I think it's Barrett Paul. He literally will take people's comments, just completely ripping apart the women and the women experience and all of that. And then he's just like, are you sure you don't want to just kiss your guy pals? I'm pretty sure if you just try it, you might realize that you don't like women. Because by all intents and you don't like women. You just,
well, I think the other flip side.
It's like a phenomenon.
I think the other flip side of that, or maybe not the flip side, but another component or another aspect of that is just the uncomfortability in general that's allowed men to be physical and intimate in any other way that doesn't either imply sex or murder. You know what I mean? Men are allowed to fuck each other and they're allowed to fight it out, but they're not allowed to touch each other and and show affection in that kind of middle ground way, you know? Right. And I know everybody talks about, but seriously, these are the effects you're going to get. You're going to it's going to seem, I think that there's going to be a level of, well, why am I not allowed that, right? And we've talked about that before. You know, women will perpetuate that toxic masculinity about that intimacy as well. Not all women, but be like, oh, do I have to worry about him? He's really chummy with that guy, you know, friend of his. Do I have to worry about that? You know, so I think there's just so many things going on in play that and I've said this many years ago, dudes, whatever you think the fight is, that's not the fight. The fight is for your mind, for the stereotypes being perpetuated about you, for the way all of society pretty much gets to treat you like dumb monkeys now because they are commenting on your behavior. You know?
It reminds me of the scene in Boondock Saints where Willem Dafoe is in bed with the person he just had sex with, and the guy tries to he takes a phone call and the guy tries to snuggle up with him a minute later and he slaps him and calls him a faggot,
right?
Because again, you could be inside of one another 1 minute, but you can't hold hands the next, or else you're a faggot, you know? The masculinity ends here and femininity starts there, and it's just that warring. And you're right, it's all societal based. If we were just chiller about people, not only people living their sexualities to the fullest extent, but also exploring.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm so sick of that conversation that, oh, well, you've sucked a dick, you have to be gay. No. Well, you can try something and not be that thing.
Yeah.
I eat vegetarian food all the time. I'm not a vegetarian anymore.
Yeah. I mean, both, both, I think, I don't want to say both sides, but I do think that there is significant status quo middle ground on both sides of this issue, from the we hate gays issue to yay gays. Everybody's uncomfortable with the idea of telling them there's no binary, there's no doing an act. And that's what I keep getting against this top or bottom thing. Just because you stuck it in somebody doesn't mean you get to identify as a sex act. Come on. None of us go around saying I'm a dick sucker or I'm a vaginal penetrator, you know?
I am the penetrator.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my favorite X-Man.
Sex-Men.
My favorite Sex-Man is the penetrator.
The penetrator.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I just think these are conversations, you know, given where we started on obviously, whatever, there's an evolution happening in male behavior, for maybe good and for bad, on, you know, both sides, as these things always are. So maybe it's time to start having those conversations. Like, it doesn't mean, and I always hated that, like, intensity about, like, the queer males. It would be like, you know, it was like two opposite things. The queer males were saying, hey, if you sucked a dick, you're a faggot and you're going to come out at some point. And then the lesbians were like, yeah, you ate pussy, but I don't believe you're a lesbian. You're still too young.
It's true. You know what? It's true. There is this, and I've made the joke plenty of times where I'm like, oh, you get drunk and kiss your girlfriends, you are or you're bi or you're pan or you're lesbian. It's a joke, okay?
Right.
But I do think that there is this kind of like this rigidity of, oh, well, you've done this thing a couple times, so it has to mean something more. And it could, and it might, but it also doesn't have to mean that. Like, right. There's no fucking equation that equals, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like definites. I think people need to.
It could just feel good.
It would be like saying, oh, you came out of the closet, you figured out your sexuality and you came out of the closet at 40, but you've been with men before, so you can't possibly be a lesbian. No, like, first of all, people are allowed to define who they are, how they, you know, however they see
in any given moment of their life.
And that's why straight cis men continue to define themselves as straight when they actually are living in a body of a gay person, you know, it's this, and they're going to continue to think and be convinced that they are straight when they would prefer to be around their guy friends. They would prefer to be around men. They've thought about sucking dick before. They hate women. They beat women.
No. Hold on. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. You don't have to hate women or beat women to be gay. Let me just disclaim. I get it.
I'm talking about.
We're gonna get a bunch of hate mail.
I'm talking about men that absolutely fucking hate women, and they cannot stand women, and they continue to stay in straight relationships. Sure. That's all. I am being hyperbolic. Don't cancel me.
No. But fuck that. This is an uncancelable show for so many reasons. And look, because you don't cancel people that are willing to like listen and understand your point, right? You know, and somebody, I was reading something about this again, and I know we've talked about this before, but like the idea of cancel culture is very conservative in nature by whatever side of the issue you're on, because it does not help us educate and bring people forward and like open minds by you canceling them. It does absolutely nothing.
Well, and nobody can be canceled, let's be fucking honest.
Apparently not. Anyhow, yeah, so apparently not. But, you know, I guess that's all I'm saying. Like, you know, we have all these, like, rigidities, you know, that you, I mean, I know there are straight identifying men who have gotten, like, massages from like someone of the same gender, and straight women who have got, did the massage feel good? It did. Do you think you're queer now? Like, because somebody of the same sex brought you something either pleasurable or relaxing. I just think
it's these absolutes that we speak in that need to just shut the fuck up.
It's not real.
If we sit here and, you know, if we are trying to paint people as a sum of all of their experiences, then nobody's fucking straight. Okay. I don't know fucking anybody that hasn't dabbled. I was 8 and I kissed it, my guy friend, or I kissed my girlfriend, or whatever. You know, I don't know fucking anybody that can say, that can speak in absolutes. Yeah.
There's gold star, quote unquote, whatever. Fuck off. First of all, I don't know why you're wearing that shit like a badge of honor. It's not a fucking badge of honor just that you,
because you haven't touched the opposite sex or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah. I don't understand why that's.
Gold star gays, they're the ones who like were like not only have never touched it, they haven't seen it, and they were delivered through a C-section.
Right. Like, fuck out of here.
That's the most ridiculous anti-women sounding thing you can say.
I don't understand why that would be a badge of honor. But either way, if you are of the 0.00002% of people out there that fucking exist on that whole, like, you know, absolute spectrum, fine, whatever, fuck off. But I don't personally know anybody. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, everybody's a little bit one.
I haven't masturbated to lesbian porn, and I'm a straight woman. I have, you know, like, I don't know anybody that could say that they haven't indulged in something same-sex related or opposite-sex related at some point in their lives.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just consumption of porn, period.
No, and you make a good point. The most woke, at least sexuality conversationalist straight identifying men I've ever met have said, look, seeing a hard dick inside her is hot. And what am I, right. Where does the idea of the hard dick end? Am I imagining it's my dick? You know, like actually having that conversation where they've thought about that. Like, what about it? Like, y'all love the money shot. What do you like about the money shot? Like, some sort of degradation of a man coming on her? Or do you actually like the way it looks to see a dick shoot come? Like, is that hot in general because you know some male pleasure goal has been achieved? You know, like, there's all sorts of ways to look at it.
Absolutely.
And I highly suggest y'all explore many ways to look at it because it opens the conversation. I've been, like, you know, reading a lot of this stuff about, like, I've been starting to follow more things about, like, non-monogamy and polyamory, which, you know, I've participated in for a long time. And, you know, the latest thing is this kind of, like, idea that monogamy is, like, a very colonized thinking is involved in it. So I follow this page, Decolonizing Monogamy. And, of course, these things are always difficult because you can get stuck in, like, identity politics hell when you get in she, you know, the person who runs the page, and as soon as they see, I'm not actually 100% sure what her pronouns are, but they have two main partners, and one of them is white, and I think one of them's Latino, and she is African-American, or they are African-American, and they get all sorts of, like, hate about talking about decolonizing with one of their partners because he's a white man. And so, like, you know, and I'm, like, watching the comments, and, you know, they have really good rebuttals. They'll come on and say, like, look, I have to address this. What the fuck? You know, if we want white men to talk about decolonializing, don't we? Like, we want to
decolonizing. Sorry.
I need a good colonizing. But
yeah, I need to decolonize myself.
I mean, you know, and that's true. I mean, it kind of, like, doubles back to the you know, cancel culture question. Like, if we can't talk about, like, what do you want? We don't want things to stay the same in these conversations. So for that to happen, unfortunately, you, like, do need to engage white men in some of these conversations because they're part of the power structure. And if you want on some social level, like, at least right now, we can talk about dismantling it, but it'll dismantle itself if they start believing and understanding what you're talking about. You know, cutting them out of the loop, as much as they may say stupid things and do stupid things, isn't, like, very helpful either. You know? Sure. And it's nobody's responsibility to educate these men either. They need to educate themselves. But, like, you know, and yes, some of the lefty white dudes have a problem of sounding very paternalistic and stupid, as I'm sure I do sometimes. But, like, at least they're not saying, like, kill women or whatever. You know, like, I mean, they need to work on it. But again, think of, like, the social norm ostracizing that happens when you're, like, a straight identifying man comfortable with their sexuality, or, like, supporting all of these, like, social things that a lot of their other counterparts are not. You know, there isn't a, like, you know, not an equivalent otherizing happening, but, like, certainly a level of it that's happening when you don't support the status quo or the norm. And I do think that that can make people a little socially awkward sometimes, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, we grow up learning everything is one way. And then when we become free thinkers, we realize that that's actually not true at all. Things are multiple ways. Yeah. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we want to go against the quote unquote norm.
Yeah.
And going against the norm comes with a lot of ramifications.
It does.
And not everybody. There's punishments in every choice that you make.
Absolutely.
Technically. And sure. You can either survive life by having the fewest punishments, quote unquote, or you could, you know, just live as true to who you want to be as possible. And that's 100% up to you to make that decision.
Yeah.
But I think you're a big old bitch if you don't. No, I'm kidding.
Well, no. But you make a good point. You know, I'll contextualize it. So I'm in a very socially justice like health program, right? And so there's all these conversations about how like class and like essentially capitalism and other like, you know, identity like things can be a part of, you know, unfair treatment and inequity in healthcare and all these things, right? So we're having all these conversations about how impossibly unfair our current system is and how expensive it is and all these other things. And then you have these professors, like they say it and they believe it in some sort of like, you know, context of like academia, but from a very like, we're on the inside looking out. And then when they have students that like, you know, fit any of those categories, it's like, well, but this is what you have to do to like get through the program and get credits. And it's like, you do understand, like, you can't be against the power structure and support the power structure at the same time.
Right.
You know, and I get it. Everybody needs a job and a roof over their head. So, you know, and they have, like, hoops that they need to jump. But I would suggest you free your mind a little bit more if you're going to support those things to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help this person push through. Because the answer is either circumstances are hard and they didn't have the access to achieve, or they're lazy.
Right.
And nobody here right. likes to say lazy.
Right. I mean, that's actually very, I never even thought about that. Like, teaching classes that teach you about inequities and then not taking those into account when grading or holding your students to a standard is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like, how do you reconcile that? How do you come to terms with the fact that you're teaching that this is a fucked up system, and then you are perpetuating said fucked up system by, say, expecting your poorer students to have had enough sleep to pass the test with flying colors?
So
for
you
example.
Just describe the Democratic strategy. No, I mean, like, yeah, you have to suspend some sort of integrity to participate in both. And again, I'm not being judgy. Everybody needs a job. We still live under capitalism. And I'm not going to, like, dissuade somebody's hustle as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Like, you do what you need to do. But there is, you know, a shining hypocrisy that I always like to point out in the discussions, that while we talk about this in class, many people have trouble applying this in their everyday life. And I think it's important that we don't talk about the people and the groups that we're talking about as if they're not us. They're all of us. Like, there's a representation to everybody that we're talking about that exists here and now in this context. So it applies to us, but it doesn't apply to us. You know, and that's a tough energy.
Right. Like, the assumption that we all got here based off of the fact that we can afford it, or the fact that we had proper schooling that led us here, or whatever. It's like, that's all bullshit, because it's, The truth of the matter is that most people can't afford the place, the school that they're sitting in and learning about these fucking things. You know, none of us can. That's why the student loan industry is booming.
And like, if you look, I see how many older students are in college right now. And I will tell you this strategy, because it's my own. I got laid off from my job and I had trouble finding a job. And my question in my head was, well, I should probably do something to try to help me not be in this position again of not being able to find another job. So let me like go do this. But more importantly, let me take out student loans so I can like at least eat while I'm trying to do this. Because there is right. no, there's no way to like do this the right way if you don't already have money, privilege, and access. That's just absolutely. The reality. So people can like talk about that, you know, like I've experienced with my family this kind of, I'm sorry you're having a tough time financially right now. I am not having a tough time financially right now. The world
Everybody.
Is having a tough time financially right now. And like, there's always a tendency to like put the individual blame and shame, and we do it ourselves all the time. I'm going to shame myself for being in a tough position, even though for everything that I know intellectually, wasn't raised like with middle-class money, access, or privileges. So right. I can't really expect myself to have those things in any sense without some like hard, difficult fight to get to them, you know? And right. and I don't even think the meritocracy in general is real. So it's kind of like, well, I only have access to it because of X, Y, and Z even. Or, you know, like, relatively speaking, exposure to education. Even if we didn't have money, everybody, like, went to community. I mean, my parents are first-generation college students, you know. Like, we're farmers. that was the deal. And their parents certainly didn't know how to do these things. But luckily, my mm-hmm. parents figured it out, so I know how to do it. You know,
right?
It's
my mom didn't graduate high school. I think she dropped
yeah.
out.
Yeah, I mean,
and my dad went to trade school, which I am very annoyed that I didn't do, because I would love to be like a plumber or something. Fucking,
I mean, plumbers make some decent money.
No shit. Yeah. I want to do a job with my hands, but I feel like I'm aged out of being able to actually learn it. You know.
Yeah, I cannot see you being a plumber, my love.
Fuck you.
I mean, I know we all have things that we got to do. But
I just mean, like, I would love a job that is truly a trade, like something totally. Like an electrician, a totally. Plumber, totally. A
yeah.
fucking oh, yeah, yeah. handyman, my, both, something, you know.
I had two of my grandmother's husbands were electricians. Two of her many. She went through those electricians like, no, but like, and that was a decent trade, you know, in the sense yeah. that like they didn't have education, but they were able to like support their family, you know.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, understanding something like electrical work,
yeah,
that's education. It just doesn't look like what us fuckers think, you know. And
yeah.
I know right now these fields and industries are struggling because right now the go-to is to be online famous.
Yeah.
Nobody's going out and learning a fucking trade anymore. Yeah. It's just not a thing. And so therefore the workforce is
oh yeah, like I think
dying.
It was a few years ago, like something in Pennsylvania, they were having such like a, I think it was HVAC shortage that the state started giving funding to the community colleges to not only increase but like provide almost scholarship to people who are interested in HVAC because what the planet's just getting hotter, folks.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And colder.
We're going to have a need for those things. Like, you yeah. can't, there's, robots can replace a lot of us for a lot of things, but they can't replace that kind of shit.
Yeah,
like, that's not sure. a thing. You need humans to be able to do that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know the point of this convo. Send your kids to trade school.
Well, I'll just say, like, connecting the two things, we live in a rapidly changing times, and adapting and adjusting for survival on whatever level, whether it's surviving
learn
socially.
Learn a fucking skill.
Yeah.
Learn a skill.
You have to, like, consider a strategy, you know, and that strategy is going to look different for everybody, for whatever they're able to piece together, you know. A hustle is a hustle is a hustle, but, like, you know, there's nothing that you're doing wrong. The world is changing, jobs are different than they used to be, and, you know, there's not a lot of, like, really marketable professions for a bachelor degree student, like, coming out of college. That's just the reality now. So, you know, you can be on college for 4 years with your dick print out, enjoy yourself. But I highly recommend, you know, a strategy that either doubles down on that dick print for income or brings that dick print to grad school or trade school.
I need to start walking around with my titters out more, because I feel like I should just wear shirts that say my OnlyFans handle with, like, my tits out.
I mean, I guess that's the funny thing. I feel like I'm seeing less cleavage and more dick prints. And, like, I love boobies, so I'm looking at both, you know.
You're such a boy. I love boobies.
You know, I like voluptuousness. So I have to say, I doubt it's, like, about, like, the specific body part anyways, but, like, I like roundness. I don't know. It must be some sort of, like, breastfed child problem. But, like, I like...
So, by nature, you're supposed to be attracted to tits because you need to be able to feed yourself as a baby, right?
Yeah.
And then what nature did to us is, because doggy style is a thing, nature decided to put tits on the back, aka ass. So that's why most of us are attracted to fuller booties and fuller breasts.
But dick melt doesn't have that much nourishment. So explain that part.
Neither does ass milk, for that matter.
That's true. Because as we discovered, eating the booty like groceries can be a problem. I remember that podcast. That was funny. See, we talk about butt a lot. I like butt.
We do talk about butt.
Okay.
Yeah, butt's cool.
That's cool. That's good.
All right. Well, subscribe. I don't know what we just spoke about. I literally, this was a fever dream of an episode, I swear. But
if you want
more butt milk, be sure to like and subscribe. Download our podcast episodes, actually.
Yeah, download.
You know what? Listening is great, but if you download, what's going to happen is we're going to be able to do more with our podcast. So yeah,
absolutely.
If you're listening and you're just streaming, thank you. We love you. But if you're listening and just streaming, if you could click the download button on some episodes, that would be extremely helpful for us.
Yeah.
We're trying to hit a certain goal, and that goal will allow us to possibly monetize a little bit of this, which would be really cool since we've been doing it for 18 fucking years. Right.
And I know for a fact, I think on Apple and on Spotify, if you subscribe or follow the podcast, the first time you hit it, I think it does give you the option to automatically download new episodes.
Yeah, so do that. Please.
Bring us with you, whether you have Wi-Fi or not.
And to all the men listening, the straight cis men listening that do not hate women, thank you. I love you. I'm sure your wives and your girlfriends and your partners love you. And thank you for not murdering us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Butt milk for life.
And I hope you don't actually hate men either.
No, that's fine. You can hate men all you want.
Fair enough. Somebody's got an agenda here.
Men aren't being disproportionately killed by their partners, you know?
No, that is very true. That is very true. Fair enough.
I like to end things on a real morbid note. We love you. Bye.